I just want to let everybody know that I appreciate you being here. Amen. Mark chapter 8, verse number 34. The Bible says, "And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Brother Jim, would you take us this morning to the throne of grace? Disciples and the others to him, and he told them there's going to be some cost that need to be accounted for, some things that you need to take into account. He said, if you're going to follow me, it's going to cost you leaving some things behind. And let me tell you this morning, it's worth everything that I've left behind to follow Jesus. Amen. It's worth everything that I gave up to follow him. Now, we live in a wicked and sinful and adulterous generation, as Jesus said down here in verse number 38. When people believe you can do anything you want to do, act any way you want to act, and everything's going to be all right because we're all going to die and go to heaven anyway. That's the message that was proclaimed this week by a certain individual that's visiting our nation. You don't have to believe in God or be a Christian to go to heaven. What a shame and what a sham that such a man in such a position as he would proclaim an outright lie and such an outright contradiction to the Word of God. If you're going to go to heaven this morning, it's going to cost you something. Amen? It's going to cost you giving up the things of this world and clinging unto him. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. There's going to be some things that we're going to give up. There's going to be some burdens that we got to bear. And praise God this morning, I'm glad that the world might look down upon me. I'm glad some might count it a burden and a problem to be looked down upon because of the cause of Christ. But praise his name this morning. I want you to know I love Jesus. I want to preach Jesus. I want to live Jesus. And I want to tell everybody about Jesus because there's nothing more important in this world than Jesus. Amen. And that's my goal. But he says in verses 36 and 37, something so poignant, something so powerful, something that needs to be heeded this morning. He said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus is talking about selling yourself and selling your soul to something, to someone, and then somehow figuring out what it's worth. I think when we think about purchasing something or selling something, we take some things into consideration. I know I do. I look at Craigslist almost every day. Facebook I hit sporadically. I get too frustrated. But I look at Craigslist almost every day, and I look down the farm and the garden section of Craigslist, and I go to Craigslist, and I see all these things that would be neat to have. I see all these things that, well, yeah, if I had that, I could do this. And, you know, I start making some considerations. You know, I consider its usability. Well, if I had that, I could do this with it. Is it purposeful to me? Is it something that I can see me having and see me using or just see me enjoying because I have it? But then as soon as you think of the usability of something, you think of the affordability of it. Amen? The next thing is, can I afford it? There's a lot of things I can use and a lot of things I'd like to have, but there's a lot of things I just don't have the money for. Amen? I can't afford it. If I could afford it, I don't think nothing about it. I'd like to have it. And then we think about its durability and about how long will it last and how long can it sustain or how long will it be useful to me. Be something that I would just love to have. I can see a use for this. I know I can afford it. And I know most of the stuff I have is worn out junk anyway that I try to bring back to life. I just sustain it and keep it moving along. And I think about how long will it last and can I keep it going? But then the last consideration I give it is feasibility. Is it even worth going through all this trouble? Can I get an amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Ladies, you do the same thing when you go to the store. Yeah, I've been with some of you, certain individuals of you. When they go to the store and they look for things, and sometimes they turn things over 15 times, amen, and they're going through the same thing. Do I have a use for it? Can I afford it? Is it going to last? And do I really need it? And they throw it back down. And then they go around the corner and they come back again in a little while and they walk back down that aisle and they look at that thing again. And feasibility says it just isn't needed at this time, so we throw it back down and we leave it. And we give all this consideration and we give all this thought, excuse me, we give all this thought to things that are so insignificant, things that are so temporal, things that are so inconsequential, it really doesn't matter anyway. And we forfeit and we forget about or we relegate to a different time and a different place the most important thing in our whole lives. And that is, where are we going to spend our eternity? Amen? And next is, if we have made preparations to spend our eternity in the right place, are we living and are we considering the cost that it's going to take to live for the cause of Christ? Jesus asked a very important question here, and I'm going to ask it of you this morning. I don't care how long you've went to church. I don't really care where you've went to church. Amen. I will tell you this, hell's going to be filled with Baptists. Amen. Hell will be filled with Baptists, people that have their name on a church roll but don't have their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. They attended church and they thought everything was all right. They had a form of godliness and they thought that everything was all right. They attended a church from the time they were born, and because they were religious, everything was going to be all right. But Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I want to give you three things to consider this morning about your soul. Have you ever stopped and really thought, I mean, give it careful consideration, that your soul will spend an eternity someplace? Your soul will never die off. There is no such thing as soul sleep. Your soul will spend an eternity in one of two places that God has prepared. The Bible tells us in Luke, in chapter 18, or chapter number 16, rather, about the rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus was drug up to the rich man's house every day, and he was laid at the rich man's gate, and he begged for the crumbs from the rich man's table. And the rich man sat within his house, and he was clothed in fine clothes, and he fared sumptuously, but they both died. And the Bible says that the angels carried Lazarus into Abraham's bosom, but the rich man died also, and in hell he lift his eyes. Folks, I want you to take some consideration about your life this morning, that maybe you've not taken time to give duly as it is needful. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" He wants you to understand, and he wants you to know this morning, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that your soul is eternal. The grave is not the end. The grave doesn't solve it. The grave doesn't stop it. There's some place that you will spend eternity. And have you taken account? Have you taken account of where you're going to spend that eternity? The Bible says the rich man died and he didn't go into soul sleep, and he didn't wait to be resurrected. The rich man died and he didn't go to heaven unbelieving. Amen. I don't care what the Pope says. The rich man died. The Bible says, and in hell he lift his eyes. And in hell he cried out, being in torment. And in hell he was begging for mercy. In hell he was begging for relief. And you know what? When you read that, I hear so many preachers say, in hell he lifted his eyes. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says, in hell he lifted his eyes. It's in the present tense. I want you to know something this morning. That rich man is still in hell. That rich man is still lifting his eyes and begging for mercy. That rich man is still looking for some hope for the rest of his eternity. But his eternity will be spent in the place that he made the choice of where he was going to go when he was on this side. He sold himself out for the pleasures of this world. Have you considered that this morning? Have you considered this very thought, that outside of Christ Jesus, there is no hope for you in all of eternity outside of a place called hell? The only hope you have is in Christ Jesus. The only hope you have is if you have surrendered yourself to Him. The only hope you have is this morning to consider your soul. What will it profit you to gain the whole world? What will it profit you if you become the richest person in America? What will it profit you if you become the most powerful individual on the planet and don't have Jesus Christ in your heart? Absolutely nothing. But Lazarus had nothing. But he trusted in the Lord. How do you know that, Pastor? Because the Bible says the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. Amen. That's how I know it. He realized that everything that this world had to offer wasn't worth sacrificing his eternal soul and his eternal being for. And the question that you need to ask yourself this morning, considering your soul, So what is it worth in eternity? What is it worth in eternity? For it will either be discarded and scream in the horrors and pains of hell forever and ever and ever. Or it will be taken into the presence of our Savior, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, where we'll dwell in the presence of our Lord, where we'll worship at His feet and at His throne, where we'll give glory and honor unto Him for delivering us from a place called hell. When I think about eternity, I can't even comprehend eternity. When I think about eternity and I think about the span of time that the world has existed and the world has been the world that God has spoken to existence and the world that God has formed, when I think about eternity and I think about that, I realize that the space of time is virtually nothing. When I think about my life, I realize that it's even briefer. And I'm grown into what you younger people look and see as an old man. Getting older in a couple of days. You're still older. Amen. And I realized that my life is virtually nothing in the scheme of all eternity. A time that will never end, a time that will never cease. But I do know this, that I would rather exist in the place that God had prepared for me than in the place that had been prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was never intended for you. Hell was never intended for me. But the Bible teaches us plainly that all who reject Jesus Christ as their Savior will spend an eternity in a place that was prepared for the devil, a devil's hell. And the devil won't be running around with a pitchfork in mastery of the place. He will be in torment, just like everybody else will. Your friends won't be there a partying. They will be in torment. This rich man screamed in torment. But so many people surrender their eternity to a place called hell because they'd rather enjoy the pleasures of this world. They'd rather enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The partying and making the money and living high and what they call living large and all that. And they all say there'll be another time, there'll be another place, there'll be another opportunity. But none of us have that assurance. The Bible teaches us plainly that today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Some folks are too proud. Well, what will people think? What will my friends say? Who cares? Who cares? Amen. I mean, some of y'all drive foreign cars. That's un-American. You don't care. You drive them anyway. Amen. And some of you even drive a Dodge. Amen. Tells you right on there. It says right on there, Dodge. It says right on it, but you'll drive it anyway. Amen. You don't care. That's what you want to drive. Some of you live up here in this neighborhood, and some of you live in this town, and some of you live in this place, and you don't care what people think because that's where you want to live. And some people worry so much about serving themselves and everything else, but they're worried about what other people are going to think about their personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't care what the world thinks, but I care about what Jesus thinks. Amen. I'm glad that I have assurance. I'm glad that I know. I'm glad I can have confidence in the blood of Jesus. And my eternity has been settled. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, he's talking to his people now. He wasn't talking to the world. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Hallelujah. I've got it settled. Amen. I counted the cost one day and realized that eternity was worth selling out to Jesus for. And not clinging to the world. How about you this morning? How about you? Is the cares and the joys and the pleasures of this world, the things that this world has to offer you, more important than Jesus? Then let me ask you this. Have you ever give your eternal being, your eternal soul, your personal consideration? You know, we can value something for its longevity. But have you ever valued something for actually what it means to you? I picked this up this morning. This belonged to my dad. My dad died when I was 8.5 years old. I don't have very many things that belonged to my dad. My older brothers and sisters were all up and married and gone when my dad died, and they all snatched up on everything. And I got this when my mom died. She had always kept it, and I knew it's my dad's pocket knife. It don't mean, it probably, there's not nobody here that would probably give me over $10 for it. It don't mean a whole lot to you. But I looked at it laying there this morning and I said, man, there's Dad's knife. It means a whole lot to me. It won't mean nothing to anyone else's family. One day I'll give it to one of my kids. I don't have nothing from my dad, but this is what I have. And one of them, I hope, will cherish it and appreciate it. It's laying there. Somebody broke into my house, and you know they broke into the barn a few weeks ago and ripped me off. And if they broke into the house and was going through everything, and they seen this old knife laying there, they would just pass right on over it. They wouldn't even give it any consideration. But it means a whole lot to me. Sometimes I think back to my dad, and I remember him, and he always had him a wet rock. And my dad was sick when I was a child, and he was older. He was 65. I was born when he was 56 years old when I was born. And he had a lot of heart issues, and they didn't do bypasses and all that stuff back then. And I can remember him with that wet rock. And look at that blade, just wore away. And I just remember him sitting there on the porch with that wet rock and just sharpening that knife. I mean, it's so sharp, it don't even, or so wore down, it don't even fit all the way down into the case that well. But I give a lot of consideration to that old knife. I look at it and I think about my dad. You know, this old knife gives me something to consider far beyond its value to anyone else, far beyond what it's worth to anybody that might wanted to buy it. It was Dad's. Not only was it Dad's, and not only did he carry it and have it, but in my mind's eye, I can picture Dad setting and just a sharpening and just a whittling and just doing the things that Dad did with his old knife. We give a lot of consideration to things. and a lot of personal consideration, the things that are otherwise meaningless, otherwise one day are going to pass away, otherwise one day the Bible says will disappear in a fervent heat. The treasures and the things of this world that we hold so dear. We give a lot of consideration to our jobs sometimes, and we neglect our own soul. We give a lot of consideration to our bank accounts sometimes, and we neglect to give consideration to our own soul. We give a lot of consideration to our children, and we neglect our own souls. And in doing so, we neglect their souls. We give a lot of consideration to things that we can touch and we can feel. We can see and we can experience. We give a lot of consideration to pleasure and to good times with our families and our friends. We give a lot of consideration to everything but our eternal state and our eternal being. We make everything so important and don't take time for Jesus. We make everything so important. We don't have time to surrender to Him as He speaks to our heart. As we sit in a church service and the man of God is pouring his heart out for the cause of Christ. Because Christ loved you enough to die for you. So that you don't have to go to that place called hell. But we don't want to give consideration unto it. We sit in the church service and we watch our clocks and our watches. Because we have other places to be. We have other things that we want to deal with. And other issues that we want to contend with. Other things that get our consideration. But have you ever considered your own soul and your own eternal state? Not according to what you think, you feel, or you believe, but according to what thus saith the Word of God. Not according to the church that you attend. Not according to what mom and dad tell you, but according to what thus saith the Word of God. Amen. Have you given careful consideration? Because the cost of neglecting, the cost of failing to give consideration to the most important issue of your life is greater than you ever realized. That rich man, as he gazed upon all that he possessed and all that he had and all that he knew, people, as they go through life and they are worried and they're concerned about all the things that they've been blessed with, don't take time to consider their own soul. When God allowed Satan to tempt Job and have his way with Job, he took away all the things that Job had, and Job still worshiped God. But Job realized something that was more important than the things. Was the God he served was greater than the things. But the devil also realized that sometimes the things aren't what it's going to take to get you. but it's going to get you to get your mind off of your own soul. The devil knew that man would look at his own self. He said, yea, skin, take all these things away. He said, skin for teeth, skin for skin, teeth for teeth. He said, man, you touch his body. Let him consider what you've done to his flesh. It'll make the difference. When we begin to give consideration, and we give the proper consideration. Job's wife said, curse God and die. Job said, woman, you speak like a foolish one. He said, because, and I'm paraphrasing here. He said, because God lets it rain on the just and the unjust. But that doesn't change my relationship with my God. You see, Job knew his relationship with God was more important than the things that he had had. Job knew his relationship with God was more important than his physical condition. Job knew his matter of eternity was settled. He said, for I know who that my Redeemer liveth, and in the last day will stand upon the earth. He said, and though the worms corrupt this flesh, though it decay, though it rot, he said, yet I shall see him. And not another, but he said, I shall see him with my own eyes. See, Job gave consideration to the important things. Job gave consideration to the necessary things. All he realized that eternity was forever. But he realized that it was a personal relationship that mattered. And he had the right relationship with his God. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you selling out for today? I guarantee it's not worth it. Job was willing to give up everything. And he was willing to let it all go, that he might have a right relationship with his God. When we value something on its longevity, we find out that the longer that it lasts, the greater value, the greater worth it has. We look at gold, and when we have a wedding ceremony and we hold the ring up, we say, it's the image of Christ's love for us. The gold is the image of that which is least tarnished and most enduring. It has longevity. Gold don't wear out. Gold wears away. We see diamonds are forever. We realize that there are many things in this world that have longevity, but none more precious than our soul. And when we value something on its longevity, our soul ought to come to the top of the line. When we value something by its intrinsic value to us, our soul ought to take preeminence and prominence in our lives. The way that we conduct our life from day to day, the things we say, the places we go, the works that we do, ought to be representative of what our relationship is with God. Lastly, we need to think about what it's worth. If you're going to sell it, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? What's it worth? What are you willing to trade it for? What will it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? What are you willing to trade it for? People have traded their lives for all kinds of things. People value their eternal souls very low when you look at some of the things that we sell out for. The addictions of this world. Are cheap. The treasures of this world are cheap. The pleasures of this world are cheap. But people are selling their souls out for them every day. Let me ask you this morning, really consider where you are with God today. Really consider where your soul and what state it is in today. Really consider how much you value what God has given you. The only thing that God allows us to make our own decisions with is our soul. Is where we will spend our eternity. Everything else belongs to Him. It's His to give and to take away. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our health and our prosperity. Job said, it rains on the just as well. You know, he said, shall we receive evil? He didn't say that. Jesus said that. But Job said, shall we receive evil, our good, and not receive evil also? It rains on the just as well as the unjust. Is what he's getting at. And then consider this. We sell ourselves off so cheaply. We get saved and then we sell the cause of Christ off so cheaply. Something that is so precious. Something that each one of us possess and can mean no more to anyone else than what it means to you. So much that we give all the consideration that we can unto our eternal soul. And we're letting it go so cheaply. But God looked upon it and He's seen great value in it. God looked upon you and seen great worth within you. Because it was He who had created you. It is He who had gave man a soul and had breathed into the man the breath of life. It was He who had orchestrated everything that was going to happen in your life. And it was He who seen more worth and value in you than you will ever see in yourself. In Matthew, the Lord is teaching about the parable and the story of the pearl of great price. And I've heard that message preached in different ways. But Brother Craig Edwards preaches a message on the pearl of great price. That pearl being His church. And what an awesome price. He was willing to give everything that He might possess it. Do you realize this morning, you might think you're nothing. You might think you're a nobody. But the greatest price that has ever been paid for anything was paid for you. When God sent the greatest treasure that heaven had to hang on an old rugged cross. Peter says we weren't redeemed, we weren't bought, we weren't paid for with corruptible things like gold and silver. But God loved us enough that He sent His only begotten Son. God loved us enough that he was willing to shed the blood of heaven's perfect lamb that he might purchase us. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, get a song of invitation, please.